Well, good morning again. It's good to be back here and sharing with you this morning from another passage from Mark's Gospel. Can you all hear me okay? Because obviously this is a slightly different setup today, and we just want to make sure you can hear as well today. One of the things I've noticed about Mark's Gospel is that although it's one of those really short and punchy ones, you think, oh, maybe it's just a quick version of the Gospel, but actually it's really easy just to flick through it, get the essence of the story, and then that's it. But actually, I've been finding as I've been preparing for these talks and as we've been listening to the talks that Lisa and Dave and others have been and will be doing over the next coming few weeks, I've realised actually Mark really does hit with quite a big punch with some of the subjects that he talks about and some of the things that he shares and gets us to wrestle with as a church. And this passage on money is no exception. There is a challenge here, I think, for us all. And that's something I want to try and unpack this morning with you and think a little bit about how do we respond to the money that we have, the things that God has given us and the possessions that are ours, and what is our right role as Christians to do that. And before I do that, though, I want to do a little bit of a quiz. Some of you will know that there was a little quiz night last night that Lucy, Ruth and myself were involved in organising for the charity that I'm running for. And after having a really great night last night, I thought I couldn't get by without having a little quiz this morning. So I hope you've all got your quiz hats on. Don't worry, they're not too difficult. But can anyone tell me any of the rates of VAT, because there are three rates of VAT. One of them. 20%. Good. Well done. Yep. 0%. Yep. Zero rated. That's brilliant. And there is another one. 5%. Yes. Brilliant. There's also something called exempt, but I didn't include that in this because they're exempt, so they don't pay any tax. I'm guessing the zero rated one means, and I'm looking at anyone who might know the answer to this, that if they wanted to, they could charge you tax on it really easily. No? I don't know. There's more to it than that. This is the thing with tax, isn't it? It's very confusing. But there we go. 20%, 5%, and zero. Okay, next question. Can you name me something from the 20% bracket that you pay 20% tax on?
Shoes.
Which?
Adult shoes.
Well done. Adult shoes you pay 20% tax on. Anything else from the 20%? Income tax. Yeah, good point. Anything else? Last one on 20%.
Non-essential food.
Yeah, basically. I've got a long list of basically food, which comes under the 20% bracket. So yeah, food is a big one. For example, biscuits you pay 20% on. Yeah, 20% tax. Says it here.
I've got it.
No, but yeah, okay, we're coming to Jaffa Cakes. Be patient. Anyone name anything in the 5% bracket that you pay 5% tax on? This stumped the earlier congregation. Anyone?
I'm going to guess, is it medical stuff? As in drugs and...
No. Would you like me to give you a couple of the examples? Your gas and electricity, 5%. You see?
Fuel.
Yeah, 5% on gas and electricity. Energy saving materials as well, apparently so. You can get you only have to pay 5% tax on anything that is permanently installed in a residential position or in a charity status. So you only have to pay 5% of that. What about the zero rated category? What do we not pay any VAT on? Cakes, yes. Cakes are free of VAT. Biscuits are not. Cakes are. Sorry?
Helicopters are zero.
Yep. Helicopters. If you're flush enough to buy a helicopter, I think you should pay tax on it. I'm sorry. But there we go. Yep. Aircraft for sale or charter are zero rated. So if you've got enough money for a private jet, your quid's in. You don't have to pay any VAT on that at all. In the zero-rated category is also Jaffa Cakes. Now, there was a debate a while ago where are they cakes or are they biscuits? It seems that the government feel that they are definitely cakes, not biscuit.
So it's they go off? Do they go soft or do they go hard?
Okay, see?
If it goes hard like a cake would,
yep.
It's a cake and it's a luxury
cake. More information than we probably needed, but thank you. So Jaffa cakes, yeah. I think I might have to switch from being a biscuit lover to Jaffa cake lover because it'll be cheaper in the long run. Actually, probably wouldn't be, but there we go. So there are lots of different things that we end up paying tax on, and VAT has gone up and down over the years, and you know, it's something that I think everybody here in this room are you're quite familiar with. You know about paying tax. I think most of you either do or have been and doing that. And I think most of us also understand why we pay our taxes. We might have questions about certain things, like why on earth is Jaffa Cake zero and biscuits not, and all that kind of stuff. But we understand that actually by paying taxes, we're doing so for the benefit of the common good. It's not just about what we can get, it's about what we can give into our world. We pay our taxes in order to make sure that other people and even ourselves get that helping hand when we need it. That we have the things that we need to run our country and for everything to operate as we need it. We understand that, I think, as people, hopefully, and that's why it's there, for the benefit, in theory, of the common good. Although, by the sounds of it, if you've got rich enough to have a helicopter, you can get away with it. But there we go. That's for another sermon, I think. In our reading today, though, the Pharisees were really starting to get quite nervous about Jesus. They were seeing him as more and more of a threat. He was coming along and he was unsettling people. He was coming preaching a message of good news, but he was also causing a lot of people to get worried, to get concerned about what may or may not happen. And many times the Pharisees, they tried to trick or trap Jesus by challenging him on what he might say or do in a particular circumstance. But at this point in Mark's Gospel, we're kind of more than halfway through. We're building up towards the crescendo of the story. You know, we're heading towards Easter week. The things are really starting to get quite tense. And it's not long before the Pharisees kind of have their way, or so they think. And so when Jesus is talking to the crowd, and when he's there with these people, he seems to get caught in this trap. And I put in my notes, I put caught in inverted commas, because he's not really caught, because he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew exactly what he was going to say. So he wasn't really caught. But he gets caught into this question, and everyone in the room was hanging on his very word. They were waiting to hear what was he going to say. They were expecting Jesus to say something. They knew he would respond to the question. Many of the people that were there wanted to overthrow the Romans, to get rid of the Romans. So this question about whether we should pay our taxes to Caesar was like a hot potato. Do you do this or not? Do you rebel or not? Some wanted to overthrow this regime. Others wanted to try and keep the peace and keep things settled. So everybody wanted an answer, and everybody wanted to know, what was Jesus going to say? What would he do? And the answer he gave, I think, surprised the hearers of the day, but it's also a challenge to us. And my three points for us to kind of hang on and look at today, I haven't got a PowerPoint, so you just have to remember and hold on to this, but are these. It's about respecting government. I use small c in that, but respecting government, respecting God, and respectful rebellion. Those are the three things that I'm going to try and unpack this morning as we go through that. So let's start off with this whole idea about respecting governments. This is perhaps one of those fascinating moments, I think, in Jesus' ministry, when he could absolutely ignite the crowd into a massive outcry, one way or the other. Whatever Jesus says here, it has the potential to explode. It could be a really volatile moment. On a Sunday evening, I mentioned this last time I was preaching, we're looking at the Bible with the young people, and we watched this scene on the video, and there was a man in the crowd who was desperate for Jesus to say, don't pay your taxes. He wanted to get rid of the Romans. He wanted to overthrow them. He wanted a rebellion to start, and to start now. And you have to remember that this had been going on for a while. The Romans had been in occupation for quite some time, and different people within the Jewish family had come up and tried to rebel against the Romans. And each time they'd been quashed, they'd been put back down again by the Romans. So to be asked this question at this point was an opportunity to maybe start one of those rebellions. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't do it the way they think. Many in the crowd, as I say, wanted the Romans to be overthrown. And the question that the Pharisees put to him was deliberate. They wanted him to say, don't pay your taxes, because then they knew they would have something to take him to the Romans to. It's an essential question as well to be asked. And what he's really asking, I suppose, or at least what I thought the guy was really asking, is do we respect the government that's placed over us? If you're paying taxes, then there is an assumption that you respect the person, the government, over you. And the answer that Jesus gave is quite simple, really. He said, yeah, if you've got taxes to pay, pay them. If it's owed to Caesar, pay it to Caesar. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. If the government asks something of you, then it is our responsibility to pay it. Now, hopefully no one in this room is currently avoiding any tax paying at the moment, but if you are, just to be clear, Jesus does say, yeah, pay your taxes, so if you want to go and do anything like that, you need to, then that's fine. But we are called to respect the government that's put over us, and that is what Jesus is saying here. Respect the government. When Paul was writing to the Romans, the Roman church, he said this, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against God, against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. God has put governments over us. God has put them in a position of power, and that means they should be respected and honoured. But what about a bad one? What about a government we disagree with? What about a government we feel is doing something wrong? And I'm going to explore that in a little bit. But for now, just hold on to the fact that as far as oppressive, cruel and nasty governments go, the Romans were probably one of the worst in history if you weren't toeing the line. If you disobeyed the rule of Rome, it was pretty a nasty end, really. So here Jesus is in the midst of that, saying, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's. He's asking us to respect those that have been placed over us in authority. My second point is this, it's about respecting God. Because Jesus could have stopped there. He could have just answered the question with that, pay to Caesar what is Caesar's, end of story. That was all that was asked of him in the question, but he doesn't. He says that even though it may not have been popular, he says it's right to pay your taxes. But he goes on to say, but give to God what is God's. When I was reading that, I was reminded of the fact at the beginning of the Bible, it says that we're all made in God's image. When he took the coin, he said, whose image is on this coin? Caesar's. So give it to Caesar's. What he's saying here, I think, is whose image is on you? Whose mark is on you? Well, it's God's. So you need to give that to God. We are called to respect our governments and authorities, but as followers of Jesus, we have a greater calling, one that actually demands our whole lot more than paying just 10%, or 20%, sorry, on a takeaway, or 5% on our gas electricity, or zero rated on our Jaffa cakes. Jesus commands us to give to God what is due to him. Yeah, the government is over us and it should be respected, but over that is God. And he too must be honoured and respected to an even greater degree. Give to God is about a whole life commitment, a sacrifice of our very lives to the one who created us, who gave us life and gives us a heavenly destination. As I was thinking about this, I kind of thought it's a bit like Jesus is saying there is a tax to being a follower of Jesus. It's not quite like that, but there's a sense in which there is a cost. There is a tax. We don't have to be a certain way to be a follower of God. He welcomes us all. We don't have to be a certain level of goodness before we can follow Jesus. He welcomes us all. He calls us all to be followers. Accepting that gift is free. It was offered freely and it comes to us freely. It's like a grace gift. It costs us nothing, but it does require us to be willing to give up our lives for God as well. There was another time when Jesus was being challenged in the temple, and I think we'll be picking up on this again in a few weeks' time, but it said this. He was asked, what is the most important commandment? What is the one thing we need to do? And Jesus said this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The tax that Jesus is speaking about in our passage is a tax of love. An attitude of the heart that demands that there are no exemptions or reduced rates. We are called to give God our everything, to love him with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. Jesus' response here was and is, I think, significant because it's a statement that challenges us to consider what are we offering to God today? What are you bringing to God as your offering to him? How does that gift of love work out for you in the day-to-day lives that you live? How are you being a living sacrifice for God in your workplace or in your home or down at the pub or at the U3A or wherever it is that you are in this week? How are you being a living sacrifice, giving it all over to God? So Jesus wants us to respect the authorities that are over us, and he wants us to give everything to God, to respect God. But let me return briefly to that question. What if a government or authority is over us and we think they're not doing a good job? We think they're bad, or worse, maybe they're being oppressive. How do we rebel against that? How do we do that in a way that is both honouring to God and also honouring to those people that are in power? We can't just simply accept it and just say it's okay that these bad things are happening. We can't just simply go and say, well, you know, these injustices are happening, but, you know, they've been sanctioned by the state, therefore what can we do? I don't believe we should just sit and accept it. If we see something that is wrong, then we need to stand up and say so. The Bible in many places says we are followers of God, and as such we have to stand up for the weak and the oppressed, for those that need help, to challenge injustices and to seek to love those that no one else will love. So how do we balance this with a passage like the one we had today, where we're called to respect our governments but also called to stand up when they do something wrong? I think what we have to do is exactly what God asked us to do in this passage, which is to be respectful. A lot of the time I spend my evenings here with the young people, and there are a number of topics that are quite common. One relates to Donald Trump, one relates to Europe and our local government. And I've been debating with them for quite a while now about this. They're 17, 18 year olds and this matters to them. When I look at some of those people and I think, how are they debating the issues? And I apologise to Donald Trump for this, but when he gets upset about something, what he does is he just goes on Twitter and has a go at the person, not the issue. He doesn't tackle the issue, he attacks the person. That's not being respectful. That's not what we're called to do. If we disagree with somebody, we don't pull them down. We look at the argument, we look at the case, and we debate it with them. We need to respect everyone, because each of us, Donald Trump, Theresa May, you, me, everybody is made in the image of God, and we are called to love and respect them, even when we disagree, maybe even more so when we actually disagree with them. It's okay to feel angry with our world when we see the rise in the use of food banks, or when we see cuts in spending in our social care that seem to be affecting the poorest. In fact, as Christians, we are called to take action, to use our freedom to help those who are oppressed. But we must make sure, if we want to be honouring to God, that we attack the issue and not the person. So often in our world, we try to win an argument or a case by pulling down the opposition, by saying that they're not good enough or they are bad. That's not how we should live as Christians. We have to honour and love and respect everyone, even when we disagree, even when we fall out. And I was trying to think of what this looked like, and trying to think of somebody who I could hold up as a bit of a role model, somebody I could say, look, this is how you do it. And there are people in our modern day society, but the one that really struck me was actually the life of William Wilberforce. A few years ago, well, actually probably quite a long time ago now, probably 2006, I think, there was a film called Amazing Grace that came out. Some of you may have seen it. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to go and watch it. Take a box of tissues with you as well, though, because it is horrifying what we did as people to other people. And in fact, we're still doing with slave trade around the world that still exists today. But William Wilberforce decided that he could not live his Christian life without doing something about this. And he worked tirelessly to make a change, but he did so within the government that existed. He did so with the facts at hand, with the information together, and he didn't challenge the people, he challenged the issue. If you watch the film or if you read a book about him, you will see that he worked so hard to make sure that within the structures of government that he was a part of, he brought about change, and he did. Him, together with others, were able to make changes to the way we treated people with the slave trade and brought an end to the slave trade. He made changes to the way we treated people in prisons. He worked tirelessly to improve the state of sanitation across this country. He was part of a group that founded the RSPCA. He gave up everything. In fact, maybe to a sense, he may have gone a little bit too far, if I'm totally honest, because if you find out about his family life, you realise that he was not necessarily the best husband, but he worked tirelessly to make a change to help other people. But he did it in a way that didn't pull other people down, didn't disregard people, but valued everyone and tried to make a difference. And I think that's what we've got to do. We have to respectfully rebel against those who are in authority above us when we see an issue that is wrong. We have to stand up and have our voices counted, but we have to do so while still paying our taxes, while still honouring them, and also honouring God. That's my challenge to you this morning. Respect others. Respect authority. Respect God. And when you see injustice, respectfully rebel against it. Because that is what we are called to do. And that is what Jesus would want us to be doing. Let me just pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you call us into a living relationship with you. Thank you that you want us to be different, that you have called us to live lives that are sacrificial. Lord, I pray you would help us to honour those around us, those that you have placed over us and those that are under us. May we show love and mercy to all we meet, whether we agree or disagree. Help us to do so in a way that brings love and compassion and change to our world. And for those issues that we are angry about, for those things that we know should not be that way, give us the courage to go out and make a difference, to do something about the situations that are wrong, to campaign for justice, to put our feet and our mouths and our voices and our hands and our hearts, our whole bodies, into your service so that we can bring good into our land and into our world. And Lord, help us to do that in a way that respects everyone, because we are all created equal and created in the image of God. Amen.
I'm going to stand and sing now to the river.